Got a missionary guest couple with us today, Bob and Chrissy Godwin. Come on up here, guys. And the Godwins are not strangers to us at Southwest Family. They have been here several times before, I think. But the last time they were here, is about 4 years ago that they were speaking, they were talking about planting a church in Tallinn, Estonia. Doesn't it look beautiful? This is Tallinn. It's a gorgeous city. I have been there. And, well, they're not here talking about planting anymore. Life Church is a reality in Tallinn, Estonia, and these are the pastors, and they've been going for a couple of years now. And, of course, they went through the pandemic, or going through the pandemic, just like we are, and have those challenges. I'm sure they'll share some of that. But I'm so glad they got to come and be with us. They're here for a big conference tomorrow through Friday of all of the missionaries of our denomination in the Eurasia Northwest area. So all these guys are coming to Galveston, which is pretty cool. And so we snagged these guys to come and be with us. So let's give Bob and Chrissy
Thank
a great
you.
Big Southwest
Thank you, Pastor,
welcome.
So much. Yeah, thank you. We are so thrilled to be with you all today. And as Pastor said, you all have partnered with us to see Life Church planted in Tallinn, Estonia, and we're so thankful for your partnership, but your participation in that, in what we do. And this is the idea I have today is that I want to talk to you about is together. That's the word I have. It's together that we are seeing the church planted in Estonia. And, you know, here we are. We're in the room here today, and there are those of you watching online, and I just want to say welcome. But we realize we're all together, whether we're in the room or we're participating online, we're together, because togetherness is not just physical, it's a unity of heart and purpose. And that's what has happened with you all around the world. You participate in so much in missions, just hearing all that you're participating in and being a part of and the impact you're going to make here in Austin, to Africa, to all over the world. And it makes my heart so happy. And I just want to say thank you for having such a heart and a vision to be what God really wants us to be. And that is His church in this world. So thank you so much for being together with us. You know, the Estonians, they know the power of togetherness. In 1989, there was an event called the Baltic Way, and you see that picture there. The Baltic Way was a human chain from Tallinn, Estonia, across the Baltic nations, all the way to Vilnius, Lithuania. Over 2 million people participated, joining hands together, and with the purpose of telling the world, we want political freedom. Today, we are doing that very same thing. We are joining hands together, not for political freedom, but for spiritual life. And that's what we are doing today is we're joining together, and it's together that God is working through our lives. I think of these this group of little old ladies that I met, and I wish you could have sat with me in the house. These little old ladies, I was like, am I going to be like one of the little old ladies? They actually were a little bit older than me. But the reason I mentioned them was this. In our area of Tallinn, there are no churches there. You don't drive down the street and see a church. Our church, Life Church, is the only visible church you see in our area of the city. These little old ladies for 15 years met together in prayer, asking God to plant a church in their community of the city. And we are the results of that prayer. Together, you and us and them together, seeing God plant His church. Together, we have an Estonian couple that serves as the lead team with us for Life Church, an Estonian couple that was grew up in this area of the city of Haabersti. Their dream was to have a church in their community. And so to see that reality come about has been just wonderful. And the opportunities that God is giving to them within community, in our local government, in our community, that God, it's really an ordination of God being able to break through barriers in our society, where in typical society, Estonians think we have no place for religion, that has no part of who we are, but yet God is opening up opportunities for us together. So thankful for that. You know, there's another part of togetherness, and that's our mission team. We have five others that are serving now with us as missionaries for Life Church and for church planting. We are encouraging and strengthening Life Church, but yet we are also doing the groundwork now for another church plant. If you have a desire in your heart, God drops a desire within your heart or an interest, I invite you, reach out to us. We would love to talk with you and help you find next steps to a church planting team in a place where the church is not. Together, we can see the spiritual destiny of a nation changed through church planting. So thank you for being with us together.
Very good. Thank you, Chrissy. And good morning, church family. I just want to add on top of what Chrissy's already said, thank you for allowing us to be with you today and to be a part of your Sunday service and your gathering. For all of you who are right here in the church building, as well as all of you who are online, thank you for allowing us to be here, but thank you for just this connection and, as Chrissy called it, the togetherness. And one of the things I just want to just emphasize again on top of what she's already said, you all are absolutely such an important, significant part of sending us, but we just want to also say thank you for praying and being able to see a missionary that's serving in Africa right now, and your connection to that, your partnership with that, and taking a moment to pray for them and what's happening today for them. We just don't always know what's happening at the moment, but certainly the things that are ahead for them, the things that they're planning for, preparing for, and the same is true for us. We're looking at church planting in the next areas, looking at a Russian congregation in the present congregation for the university students and just within our community. So we really do say thank you to all of you, even if it's just a moment, a few seconds. God touch Estonia today. How many of you know God really does hear us when we pray? Absolutely. And so thank you for being a part with us. Well, I'd like to take you for a few moments to a really amazing passage in the book of Acts, and it's Acts 17. And I'm going to do something that I rarely do, and that's read a lengthy passage. But it's inclusive of this story that takes place in the life of Paul. And Paul's been on journey, moving from city to city, community to community. He's just moved out of the area we know as Turkey. He's now into Europe, and he's gone through the city of Philippi. He's seen amazing things there. The city of Thessalonica, incredible things there. The city of Berea, amazing things there. And now he's having to flee persecution. He's literally been taken out of the city by other believers and moved because they are concerned and afraid for his life. And so they're moving him 350 miles away to get him safe. And he's now moved over to the city of Athens, taken by boat, ship, and moved over to Athens. And we find him here in this situation in a very unique, distinct context and culture. And we'll just put it really simple. It is a different place. So we're going to read it. Go through it with me as I'm reading. I'll read it out loud, but just follow along and see some of these just incredible, distinct parts. So here we go, verse 16, Acts 17. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled. This literally means pained and irritated. There is a real struggle inside him. But also notice, Paul was waiting for them in Athens. He's talking about Silas and Timothy, who are still in Berea helping new believers there. So he's deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city of Athens. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles. He spoke daily in the public square, which is called the Agora, to all who happened to be there. That's a marketplace, very important. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, two very distinct religious and philosophical directions. So when he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What is this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas that he's picked up?" Others said, "He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods." Then they took him to the high council of the city. This is called Mars Hill, Areopagus, which were the words for war gods or god of war. So others seem to be preaching about some, the other said he seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. Then they took him to the high council of the city. "Come and tell us about this new teaching," they said. "You are saying some strange, rather strange things." And he went, and we want to know what it's all about. Verse 21, it should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seemed to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.' This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands cannot serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations through the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him." Isn't that great? "Though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your very own prophets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day of judging the world with justice by the man that he has appointed, which is Jesus. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead." When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed or mocked in contempt, but others said, "We want to hear more about this later." That ended Paul's discussion with him. But some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of this council, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Let me just pray real quickly. Father, I just thank you for these next few moments that we have together just to look through this passage and to highlight some things, Lord, that are so important for us. And those things that are important for us are the things that are in your heart for us, every single one here today who is in the building, those who are watching online today and they're focused in with us and they're participating with us and they're hearing. Lord, thank you for speaking to us, bringing into our hearts exactly what we need. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was doing a little probing into your website. I hope that was okay. Sometimes we kind of look at things and then you just kind of start digging. And and fooling around a little bit. And as I was doing that, I was just kind of seeing, well, what's their Facebook or their website look like? What's kind of a part of their emphasis? And so I saw that there was purpose and value statements that were given that you all have created as a church that just shares with the community and people who are a part of the things that you're a part of and connecting to them. They kind of understand, well, who is Southwest Family Fellowship? So this is where you all declare that. And so I just found some things there. I just thought, wow, this is so amazing. It's so clear and so precise. And you all included with it some great, great questions. So is it all right if I just give you a couple of those? I just thought they were so good, and they fit so perfectly with where we're going today. The first one is just your purpose statement. It says, Southwest Family Fellowship exists to make Austin and the world a better place by connecting people to God and one another in a safe, authentic, and vibrant environment. That's just so powerful and so clear and just speaks to the vision and the heart that you have from right here, and it extends itself around this globe. But then there are 9 values that give greater description of how we're going to do this and what we're how we're going to see this accomplished. What is important to us? So I've just highlighted 3 of those, if that's okay, because I think they just relate so well and so clearly to what we're doing today. Number one, we value Jesus. An intimate relationship with Jesus is the key to a fulfilling life. And the question that goes with it is this: am I daily seeking to make Jesus my focus? Wow, that's really good. What a great question for us. Value, the second value, we value relevant environments, which means our methods may change, but the message is unchanging. The message will always be the same, but how we do it and what we do will change. But here's the question: am I living out a faith that engages my culture? Wow, that's big. And then the third one that I saw out of the 9, and all of them are great, but I just picked these ones because I just felt they related so closely to us today. We value growth. Being a Christian equals becoming more like Jesus. And the question, is my life an increasingly attractive witness of the gospel to others? Wow. Those are big questions. And I know that periodically you get to see these and you'll hear them. But I just recommend in such a big way, just take time every now and then to go to the website or copy them down, something. But just ask those questions. What great reflection points. For us in Estonia, we've got some amazing historical markers, time periods and seasons and moments. And Chrissy shared one of those with you, the Baltic Way, which was so important. It was just like these nations that seem so significant and really unnoticed by so many in the world, they just stood up and made a shout and said, people, notice us, we're here, we want to be free, we need your help. And they did it. But we're marked by many, many other things. 50 years of communism that so influenced even who we are today. The Singing Revolution that actually brought about the big revolution towards democracy and freedom in 1991. Just powerful, powerful moments. But for us, one of the ones that we see that very few know about is what happened in 2011. And BBC went to Estonia, and they went there with one question. And the question to people they interviewed was, what is the significance of religion in your life, your daily life? What is the significance? Is it significant in your life? And the response came to a bottom line of about 20% of those they interviewed said that religion in some form, at some level, has significance in my life. And the title that they were given for Estonia as an outcome of this is they were called the least religious nation in the world because of their own response to this question. Is religion significant at all in your life? Wow. Well, that has been the topic or the point that has come up so many times for Chrissy and I in our communication with people, just in coffee shops, in our neighborhood, as we're talking to people. And when it gets to that spiritual discussion, or they're asking us, what do you and Chrissy do in Estonia? And we tell them that we're a part of starting a new church in Haabersti on the west side of the city. That purpose is to help people understand the true significance of God's heart for Estonia. And that it's not a religious system that we're coming with or bringing, but that we want them to understand God's heart. And that discussion goes on many different times in many different ways, but invariably, so many of the times, it's like almost immediately, they don't put their hand up physically, but you can see the hand come up. It's like everything stops. You hit the stop sign. And they go, well, but Bob, Chrissy, haven't you heard? As like we just didn't know. We're not religious people. We're the least religious nation in the world. Why would you come here and do that? Why would you start a church? There's no reason for you to be here. Well, I won't go into all the things and our responses, but actually, I just light up inside when I hear that, because that's the greatest thing they could tell me, because we're just here to... I get to say, you know what, I'm so glad you're not religious. Because religion rarely does very much for people. But I know that Jesus, his heart and all that he's done, he will change your life. And that's why we're here, is to share that with you. We're not here to force you to do something or make you to do some spiritual thing or add another set of rules or guidelines. It's about a relationship that God wants to have with you. Well, in this passage, we see Paul moving out of this situation, pushed out of Berea where they were seeing such good things, pushed into the city of Athens, and here he is. And to be honest, I really feel like Paul was so frustrated and struggling to be there in Athens. It wasn't an easy situation. He wanted to be somewhere else, but here he is, and it's like he just kind of has this transition moment. I'm here, and it's as if he takes a walk through the city, and he takes notice of all the idols, and he begins to engage. And as we already noted, his heart is so troubled by what he sees. So what does this passage tell us that we need to know today? What do we need to recognize? There's a lot here, and we don't have time to go into it all today. But go back and read how Paul connected and the things that he spoke to this very difficult, challenging culture and context. And for Chrissy and I, where we live, it's a very secular mindset. God doesn't come into the picture. They still see disconnect. You and Austin are very much, if not equally, or maybe even more the same, where people just have no connector to the gospel. It's like for most Estonians, and so many of them, never been to a church. If they were in a church, it was for a wedding or for a baby baptism. Maybe they're going to be a godparent. But the city is filled, in the old town is filled with beautiful chapels, but on a Sunday morning, most are so empty. There is not a connecting point. Well, Paul is in that place, and he is going to help these people, this culture, this context, through God, with God's help, he is going to make that connect for the city. So just 3 points, very simple today, but I think they're important for us, especially as we just keep moving forward. And even though COVID has, it feels like it's put a lot of barriers and fences around us. Do you feel that way? That there are just moments you just feel like, oh, and we're just tucked in and tied in and we can't do much or anything and we've lost connection with those that we work with or even family and good friends. And so we just kind of struggle. But here's three things that I believe we see. Number one, we see God engage with the people of this city. And that's so important. Number two, we see God clearly communicate with the people of the city. And number three, we see that some believe. So important that number one, we see God engage with the people of the city. And I just want to put it this way, through Paul. Through Paul. God's engaging with your city through you. God is engaging people in your neighborhood. Through who? Through me, through you. In our neighborhood, we've just seen so many incredible doors open, and they know we are pastoring a brand new church, and they've allowed us to do these neighborhood connects just like you guys do, and do play days for kids, and it just has created so many opportunities. But so many times, Chrissy and I ask ourselves that question, who are we? How does God do this? It's so amazing. But yet it was through Paul that God brings him into this city and God expresses his heart that so important is still for everyone. In spite of COVID and the pandemic around the world, it's still for everyone. Can I just ask that question for you all? Who are you thinking about? Who do you see each day? The opportunities that you get to connect and relate to and be in relationship where you're able to help people see God, to understand God. We are that voice. We are that message. We are the picture, so to speak, of how people connect. And really, this first point is just here for whether we're watching online with us today or right here, is that we're just reminded by that simple point that God has not changed. That part has not changed. The heartbeat of God is unchanged. That's the takeaway point. He's unchanged. God has not changed. He's still reaching for the hearts and lives of every person in every culture. That's why the purpose statement you have as a church is so significant, but it can't just exist on a website. It can't just exist as something as a knowledge base, but it's so relevant for every single one of us, every single day. Our roles may be different. You say, I could never do what Paul did. You know what? You're absolutely right, because we're all so different in the sense of I can't be exactly Paul, but I can be who God is making me to be and what he's put inside of me and how he's worked in my life. And that becomes so powerful because God's heart is unchanged, but yet he's equipping us and preparing us. So God was willing and ready to go and work in their context, and God was communicating his heart through Paul, and he's doing the same for you and I. Wow. Number two, we see God clearly communicating with the people of Athens. And again, can I say it? Through Paul. And you'll find through those verses 22 through about 31, you just see all of this description of what Paul brings into the picture, because you've got these major philosophies and religious structures. And again, you may see them very much in your atmosphere, in the places where you are, where you work, in your neighborhood, in your community, where the people you can connect to, in the sports play, wherever. The fact is, there are uniquenesses and dynamics about the cultures where we exist, But here we find that God gives Paul the ability to bring into this situation, most likely where he wasn't planning to be. So don't panic. Can I say that to all of us? Don't panic. Let God do his thing. And it'll be amazing. It'll be amazing what God helps you to do. What is so incredible is that Paul wasn't just trying to make converts, to make them Christians, but to lead them to God. So we find him going to the synagogue and helping those who were Jews or Jewish, those who had converted to Judaism, not just see God Yahweh of the Old Testament, but to see the fuller picture of God's redemptive plan for the world through Jesus Christ. And then he goes to the agora, which means the marketplace, the place of gathering. And there's a picture there for you of the agora that still exists today. But this is where everything happened. And I know Pastor Anthony has had time to actually teach on this, and I hope you get to do it again. It is so powerful. But this is the place where everything happened. Business was done here. Athletic events were done here. Theatrical events were done here. But this is the daily gathering place where people taught on philosophies and religions. And it was the place. So Paul found the places of connection to these people. And out of this, where he's communicated all of these details of what they needed to hear, they then invite him onto the Areopagus, which was Mars Hill, which is where people would defend religious philosophies or religious ideas. And these people in this council were the gatekeepers. They would say, yes, we can add this to the many, many, many other things that we're doing, or they would decline. And there were other things. They would make important, significant decisions for the city. But here's the point. It was a connection point. It was a powerful moment because this is where Paul declares who God is. This is where he makes clear that the exclusive message of the gospel is exclusive. It is in Jesus Christ that we find our relationship with God. He is also clear about what God wants and where God is. I think it's so powerful that he just says, yes, this God, he is. His desire is that you find your way to him. But just hear this. He's not far away. You're not having to go to another location to find God because he is near us. Can we just have that picture about those that are around us? And I believe a lot of the nearness is because of what he's doing in your life, my life, and how we are choosing to live our life, engaging our culture. So the takeaway point here is connection. The first one, so important, was unchanged. God's heart is unchanged. The second one is connection. God is putting you into relationship in places with other people. God is putting you in relationship in places with other people to be communicators of his heart, his truth, his love, and his purposes. Wow. Only God can do that. But lastly, and this is where we finish, we see that some believed. Now, why is that important, Bob? Well, that's important because of this. There have been scholars, Bible scholars, theological scholars that have analyzed and looked through this, and there's still a lot of debate. We have to be really honest. How many people really did come to know the Lord? Some say that maybe this particular passage was the greatest failure of Paul's ministry. It didn't work. They say because of going on to Corinth and the things that he said there, it seems to show that what he did in the city of Athens before just didn't work. It wasn't successful, and that he should probably never do that method again of communicating the gospel. But many other Bible scholars, and I think more now than ever before, are seeing that what Paul did and how God helped him, the Holy Spirit helped him in his communication and bringing all those truth points into this particular situation, literally brought about the opportunity for this context, this situation, these people, to welcome Jesus into their life. When you look at all the different places where Paul went, communicated the gospel, and the planting teams, not just Paul, but many others, and they report, Dr. Luke reports the outcomes of this. Sometimes he mentioned what happened. Other times he doesn't mention what happened. But here he said, some believed and followed Paul and others with them. And here's why I just believe that's so important. Because some believed. On that day, in those days, in those moments, people heard. And in a context where they were surrounded with idols that were so distracting, and a marketplace that was filled with so much conflict and chaos, one more time, some believed. Dionysius was a part of that council. Damaris, they said for her name to be mentioned here because of the culture and context, she must have been a very powerful, successful, incredible, influential woman, possibly a part of this council. So Luke takes a moment in the outcomes of what happened, and he says this, some believed. Christy, I want you to come because we're going to pray for you all. And Pastor Anthony, would you mind coming too? Because he's going to conclude, but I really want him to be here just as a representative, as your pastor. Because here's the thing. We at Life Church in Tallinn, and I think you all are right, you have the same thoughts, and you may say it differently, but we believe we have three communities that we work in and exist in every day. One is we're very connected to our Life Church Tallinn family. Our purpose is to help see believers become just fully growing, thriving disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. So we're very connected. We have a lot of accountability and help each other. But we also have a community that's very personal to us. And your community is not my community. Your community is not Pastor Anthony's community necessarily. But you have family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, classmates, special people of connection that might just be very random, but yet God and you've just, God put you together, okay? And then we have our local, and we just call it our local and global world. So how do we serve our community? How do we love them? How do we help them to see Jesus through us? And that's how we want to just pray over you today. That we know you are a church with a huge heart for the people in the world. But church, I just felt so strongly this was the encouragement to bring to you all today. There are still so many that are really waiting to see it and hear it. And I love what Paul did at the very end. He brought them to that place where he said, you need to see that the one I'm talking about is the one God raised from the dead. And he still lives. Yes, he was crucified, he was buried, but he rose again. And that means he's still present today. And that's what Paul was communicating with them. His work is still, it is still a part of everything that God is about. This is his mission to bring people into relationship with him. And then he just said, so the point is I'm asking you to repent. This is that choice, repent. And I know that that word has had a lot of bad stuff connected to it, but I'm telling you, it is powerful and amazing because it's talking about life change in the work in the kingdom of God. It's what God can do because we're saying, that's where I was headed, but God's message has become very clear to me, and I'm beginning to see, and so I'm stopping where I'm at, and I'm realizing that was wrong. It wasn't the right direction. And so repentance calls me to draw back to the heart of God. It pushes me back to where God is saying, this is what is best. And this is how we get into this relationship and connection. So I know this. We've got family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, classmates, and those others. We've got a community out here, and you've got a world. And we just believe God's ready to do something really powerful. Are you ready for that? Even at level 5, right, Pastor? Would you stand with us? We're finished. Thank you for letting me go just a little bit longer today. I apologize for going a little long, but we just want you to be encouraged today. You know, God's unchanging. And he's still connecting us. And there's that really important word, life. Yeah, we live because he's helping us. He's helping us live each day knowing that God is speaking to others through your life. I want Chrissy to pray. And Pastor, would you just come here? We'd like to get on each side of you if we could. I think we're in between the lines so they can see us all. But Chrissy, just lead us.
Father, I thank you that you are at work in our lives personally. That even as we look to you and we believe, Father, that you receive us. And you bring life to us. And today, Lord, if someone is listening and praying, Lord, today let them respond in their own heart to you and say, I believe, I receive you. And you will come into them and meet with them. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray for my friends, Lord, that you will empower them today by your Spirit. Lord, that we will truly be able to see the fruit of your life in our community, Father, that it won't be long. Father, those that we live near, Father, that they will see and know you. Lord, that they would turn to you and experience the life that you have to give to them. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for this congregation, this fellowship of believers, Lord, that is representing you, but Lord, that they are your connection to the people here in Austin. Father, thank you for that. Lord, we ask you to do great and mighty things in the lives and the hearts of those in this community. Father, thank you for that, for your glory and your honor. Amen. Amen.